We're rolling.
If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Weirdly Personal. This is a new little thing that I tried last month and people enjoyed it. So I thought I'd bring it back again this month, a solo episode. No guest with me today. I am recording from my house. If you hear screaming children outside, they are my neighbours. I honestly don't know what they're doing. It sounds very Lord of the Flies out there, but look, not my monkeys, not my circus. Is that the expression? Not my circus, not my monkeys? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, let's get into it. So what I wanted to talk about today is something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I think it's all the big life decisions closing in and the playing out of some big life decisions that we've made. But something I've been thinking about a lot recently is this concept of freedom versus security. And I feel like you guys will relate to this. So this might be a little bit rambling. It's a little bit freestyle. It will be. It just will. But let's get into it. Freedom versus security. That is what we're talking about. I actually got to thinking about this from, I was listening to my friend Ralphie's podcast. She has a podcast called Dazed in Delulu. Go check it out. Shout out. And she posted this reel in part of the promotion where she was talking about how she hadn't necessarily reached like all the goals in her life and stages in her life that she thought she'd be at her age. I think we're the same age, like around 33-ish. But she was talking about how she's had this like life of adventures and she's done all these things and like lived in Ibiza and lived in Australia and has just, yeah, lived loads of versions of her life. And it really got me thinking because I am a perpetual person swinging from craving freedom to craving security. Maybe it's chasing freedom, craving security. I don't really know. But on the whole in my life, I've always valued freedom a lot. I think it's like a hangover of being a stroppy teenager. I never really wanted anyone to tell me what to do. I've always been very much like going to the beat of my own drum, as they say. It's also probably a bit of a hangover of being a child of divorce and that having like instilled into me a real knowledge of kind of independence and how important it is to have choice in your life and to have independence. Maybe that's a coping mechanism. Maybe I should be talking to a therapist and not to a podcast mic. But isn't that all podcasts? I don't know. We'll put that one under the rug for now. Pick that up in 2027. But yeah, so I've always kind of had this focus on freedom. And I think it started really young. Like at 13, I had a job. I got a job working in a pub. I was like washing up dishwashers. We used to call it a sub-aquatic porcelain technician for Bants, but I was a pot wash at 13. And it was actually really fun. To be fair, I worked with like adults and I worked with loads of chefs who obviously have foul mouths and like are hilarious. And it was just good crack. And like I'd be washing. And then eventually I got moved into also doing desserts promotion. Well done me. And making desserts was actually just like taking them out of the fridge, putting them in the microwave, putting ice cream on. And often I would do that and purposely put them in the microwave too long. So I got to eat them. But anyway, look, I digress. This is not about my job I had when I was 13 in the pub at the end of my road. This is about freedom. But from a really young age, I had money. So I understood that money in many ways gave you freedom. I also had an allowance, like double income. I had dual income at 14. Well done me. And well done my parents. Thank you. Appreciate that. And it was that combination of like having money and also having, I guess, responsibility that allowed me to do the things I wanted. So I always saw finances as a real way to kind of control your freedom. And I think also thinking about freedom, I had very relaxed parents. Maybe too much so, if you're listening, mum and dad, this isn't a shout out, but like maybe 15-year-olds shouldn't be allowed to get tattoos. I understand I begged. I understand I was very obsessed with Miami Ink on TV, but very relaxed but very relaxed parenting, I would say. And my teenage years was just marked by freedom. And with that, yeah, it taught me to really lean into freedom in the sense of traveling. And, you know, when I was 14, I went on my first trip away without my parents. My friend Lily and I, who no longer friends, but we went to school together, and we went to Paris and like did that trip on our own. And then after college, me and my girlfriends went to Barcelona, we went to Berlin. And then after that, I went to Southeast Asia, I went to Australia. So I think freedom has just always been really baked into my mindset. And to be honest, it's reflected like all of my choices in my life. Like the choices I made around work definitely built into this idea of like maintaining, like freedom is so important, and maintaining that. I worked like briefly in corporate roles for 4 years or so in advertising. I always found I got to the point where that stroppy teenager did come out, and I didn't really like having a boss, and I didn't really like being told what to do. And yeah, I always got to the point where I became disillusioned and I'd move on to the next job. Then moved into, you know, startups. You've got quite a lot of freedom there. You could really like choose what your role was. And ultimately then moved into freelancing. My work is like the ultimate choice of freedom, I would say. Freelancing is like, I choose my clients. I choose what hours I work. I choose how much I charge. I choose when I give myself a pay rise. Everything about it is on my terms. And I'm a massive advocate of it. I'm a massive advocate of having freedom in your work personally. I can also work from anywhere. It's a dream. But there is downsides. And this is where we get onto that freedom versus security, right? The downside is that in freelancing, you pretty much have no security, I would say, or you have very little security. You might have a contract. You might have a contract, and let's say it's for 2 months, or it could be 5 months, it could be a year. So there's a level of security there, but you have much shorter notice period, so you can just like be got rid of quite quickly. You rely on yourself, you're finding your own clients, and the market can flop. And, you know, last year I did about 5 months when I didn't have consistent work. It was really bitty. And that's the downside of freedom. And that is the two sides of this coin, freedom versus stability. The alternative is that stability and that security, and the security you get from, you know, a perm job, you get a pension, you get maternity, you get healthcare, you get sick pay at the cost of flexibility. You can't work from anywhere, usually. You can't give yourself a pay rise. You can't choose your working hours, usually. So you've got those two sides of the coin, freedom versus security in your work. And I guess what I've been thinking about recently is that one always suffers slightly for the other. You might think, okay, well, what if you owned your own business? Like, then you get freedom and you get security. But you don't really, because you actually lose like most of the freedom, in the sense of, if you have your own business, you can't then take a month off to go to Bali. And I understand that a lot of people listening to this would be like, oh, you know, boohoo, first world problems. And it's so true. Of course it is. But when you've put freedom so much at the heart of your life and the decisions you've made, that kind of is how I think. And it's also why I never kind of scaled my freelancing business into a content studio. So work is obviously a place where you often have to trade one for the other. And I think it also really comes through in what I was talking about in the last weirdly personal episode of, it also comes through when you're talking about buying a house. Like, buying a house is the ultimate, in my view, freedom versus security experience. Because if you buy a house, you have so much security in the sense of like, you own that thing. You can't just have some dickhead landlord suddenly move you out, or, you know, they decide to sell it or whatever. You've really got that security there. And you've also got security to a degree of, you know, how much your mortgage payment's going to be. They're locked in for a certain period of time. You know where you're going to live for a certain period of time. You know, all of that kind of stuff. But, and if you're renting, you don't have any of that. You've got the freedom. You've got this freedom that, you know, if you get a giant work opportunity and you want to go abroad, then you can take that because you're renting. If the political climate suddenly changes, you could also up and move if that's what you want to do. Like, you have that freedom. And again, the duality of both sides comes through so clearly. You pay through the nose in rent because you have the value of freedom. That is the two sides of the coin. So I think we really see it in work. I think a lot of us will be thinking about it in work, that kind of 25 days holiday. How do I make decisions around that? If I did do my own thing, you know, am I going to make as much money? Will I cope with the stability? It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And you've got it in housing. And I was thinking about this in relation to relationships as well, because I've got quite a few single friends. And I would say, I was thinking, do they have more freedom than I do as someone who's in a long-term relationship and married? And honestly, it's like, for me, the one place where it doesn't seem like a trade-off. It doesn't feel like I trade freedom for security. And you might have heard me talk about this on the podcast before. There's this super interesting thing called the dependency paradox. It's a kind of psychological phenomenon. And the best way to explain it is probably that when you have a kid and they're in a playground, if they have a caregiver who is very erratic and, let's say, up and down, hot and cold, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get from that caregiver, then the child's behavior is often very fearful. They won't kind of stray too far from mum or dad. They won't go and play too far away. They're constantly checking back and they're monitoring that person's, like, what's the word? That person's behavior in response to them, right? So they don't have much freedom because they have a caregiver who's quite erratic. Versus if you have a caregiver who you're really bonded to, and you know that every time you fall over, they'll come and pick you up and, you know, kiss your knee or whatever and make you feel better, you actually get this thing called the dependency paradox, which is that when you can depend on someone, you actually express more acts of freedom and exploration. And that's kind of how I feel in my relationship, is that in theory, I think it could feel, and sometimes my brain does go there, a little bit like you're losing freedom for security. But in reality, I think that strong foundation of like trust and knowing that someone is always there, you actually have more space, or at least I have more space to explore and to go off and do my own thing. And so I think you get this really interesting thing, which is freedom of thought, freedom of mental space, maybe it is. It's like the trust creates a freedom in your mind, despite that there is a massive level of security in that relationship and dependency. Although, look, having said that, you do compromise around relationships always. I think a relationship without compromise is impossible. You're always thinking about the other person's wants, their job. You know, would I have lived a very different life if I had not met Chris? Yeah, absolutely. I always say to him, like, I probably wouldn't live in the city. I'd probably live in, like, I don't know, honestly, somewhere like a super quiet town in Spain, and I would surf all the time and I wouldn't give a fuck about loads of the things I give a fuck about now. It would be a very different life. And it's scary sometimes to think about those lives and just to realize that as we get older, the doors are always closing behind us. I think it's something my therapist said to me. I don't work with her anymore, but she talked about, like, to move forward, you have to accept that doors are closing and that you don't always have the same options in front of you. And I think that's a very daunting and scary thing to realize. Yeah. And I guess there's also the interaction, to be honest, with identity. I mean, we talk so much about identity in this podcast, but there's something around, like, the identity of being a free person, a freedom-loving person versus a very secure person. And, you know, when I think about security as an identity, it's that kind of, like, knowledgeable, grounded person, like, rooted in life, someone who is always there when you need them and, you know, they, you can come back to them time and time again. Versus maybe freedom is in a way that you're always changing and evolving and you're taking risks. And when you do that, the roots that you've planted in relationships in your life, if you're someone who's always expressing freedom in their personality and their identity, inevitably you're risking some of those routes. I don't know if this is making sense. I really hope it is. So for example, we talked about this with Zara, and they talked about how their free kind of exploration of their identity and freeing themselves from the binary, the gender binary, inevitably relationships change on the back of that. Or we talked to Heidi, and she was talking about all the work that she did in recovery from an eating disorder, and how inevitably that rediscovery of herself, that freedom to change and explore who she is, she lost some of the security of the friendships, because the friendships she had were actually rooted in a level of inauthenticity of her not knowing herself, and it no longer made sense. So again, you've got career, you've got buying a house, you've got relationships, you've got identity. There's all these places I've come to realize in the last like week, which is why I'm yapping on about this, where freedom versus security really interact or overlap or compete even. And the hardest part of growing up, I don't know why I said growing up, that makes it sound like I'm 10 years old, but the hardest part of aging, getting older, isn't necessarily that making decisions is really difficult. I mean, it is, but it's also that realization of you can't always have both paths and you can't always have both options. You can't have it all. Or maybe you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. I kind of like to think about that, actually. I think the idea of you can have it all across your however many years you're blessed to live, but you can't have it all in one period. Like, that is, for me, really reassuring, to be honest. I think it's like, it makes me feel much better about things. And I do think sometimes, like, you know, in the future, maybe I will live more of a kind of nomadic, free life. I won't be in the city anymore, but it will look different. It'll be with a husband and kids. It won't be me at 23 anymore. And that's also fine. Although I would say with that, there's a big caution, I would say, to not put off today's happiness, daydreaming of a day when it all falls into place. Because I also think that's a massive trap. You kind of hear about people who they want the next promotion so that they can get this thing, and then they can get this thing, and then, you know, when I have this, I'll do this, and like, I won't do the trip until I've done this because I don't deserve it. And I also think that is just like a crock of shit, and don't do it, because, you know, as much as it's a cliche of like, you have to live every day as if it's your last, obviously you can't do that. If you did, you'd be broke and you'd be tired and you'd be falling out with people all the time, because you just would go renegade on all sorts of crazy behavior, at least I would. But you also can't guarantee that that thing you want to do in 10 years is possible. I mean, a bit of a personal share, but we lost my uncle about a year ago now, just over a year ago, very suddenly. And he was about to retire, and him and my aunt had talked about, you know, traveling and doing all these things, and we're really excited about retiring. And he just passed away really suddenly. No warning, healthy guy. And it's really just a reminder that, yeah, you can't put off things that you want today for the future. You have to always find that balance. And I think all of this, we're in a weird kind of context as millennials. I think we're this generation, you know, this is the podcast, I talk about it all the time, but we're this generation where we have so much more freedom than we ever have had before, and generations before us have had before. We don't have these linear lives that our parents had or our grandparents had. We're now, you know, we're the architects of our own lives. That sounds so bullshitty, but we can make so many more decisions. You know, we have more freedom of movement. We have more freedom to earn in different ways. We have companies who are willing to employ us in different ways. And it can be really empowering, and it is really empowering, but it's also like that heavy mental load. It's choice overload. It's a lot of what the fuck feelings that we're just kind of building these lives from scratch, and often purposely ignoring blueprints, or the blueprints aren't accessible anymore. So freedom versus security, I think a lot of us are thinking about that. I think it's on a lot of our minds. And I'm trying to unpick this stuff in myself, because I'm queen of like wanting to make roots and wanting to like nest and have a house and make it really mine, and then feeling like incredibly claustrophobic. I don't know if I'm the only one who does this, but it's almost like a push-pull of like going between these extremes of like, I want to sell all my shit and just move abroad and like live by a beach and never think about these things, versus like, no, I want to build this amazing thing that has impact and does all this good in the world, or at least makes a difference in some way. I don't know. And I've done this multiple times in my life, even in like very small ways. I was feeling super claustrophobic a couple of years ago and feeling like, oh my God, I'm getting older. I've never lived abroad. And like my husband and I, we travel, but it's mainly for his work. We actually like, people would be shocked for this. I think we've done in our 10 years together, maybe one holiday, which was over a week, which wasn't to his family's house in Mallorca. It was to Portugal for a friend's wedding, and we turned it into a big trip. But we don't travel. We're not very adventurous. And I was having this freak out of this life that I used to have when I was younger and so kind of driven by freedom and this thirst for freedom. So I went to Mexico for, I want to say, 5 weeks, and it was amazing. But oh my God, the minute I had that full freedom, it was like pulling out my like life support in many ways. I was like, oh my God. Firstly, I massively missed him. And secondly, I miss my routine like so much. I think the pulling up to the Airbnb and being like, I don't know this place and I don't have my routine and I'm not going to the gym and I'm not doing all this stuff, it freaked me out. Yeah, I pulled up to the Airbnb and it was like down a dark kind of dusty road. And it was actually a super nice road, but it was like that freaking out of, okay, I'm on my own in this situation. But it was the exact freedom that I wanted, that I've been craving, that I was like, I have to get out of here. I feel so claustrophobic and I'm going to go do this for myself. And yeah, it was just such an interesting learning for me of like, you're a balance. You're a creature in swinging back and forth, and maybe this will always be your life. And maybe I'll still be thinking about freedom versus security in 10 years' time. I don't know. But it got me thinking, how do I deal with these feelings? How do I cope with them? How do I navigate them? How do I make decisions knowing that I'm like that? And I've started to ask myself like some hard-hitting questions, I think, and maybe these are useful for you, and maybe they're things that you might think about yourself if you're feeling in any way like relating to this. And one of the things I always ask is like, is this craving for freedom based on fear, or is it based on like a need? Am I feeling like I want to suck everything in because I'm overwhelmed and I'm like exhausted and I just want to throw it all in and go and explore? Or on the flip side, like, yeah, sometimes it's like, I think, should I throw in the freelancing and do something really stable with loads of security? Because that would take a lot of pressure off my mind as well. So asking yourself that, like, is this craving for freedom based on fear or based on actual need? Am I scared of missing out on things, or is it because I have this innate desire of something I really want to do? Or do I just feel like I should do it because if I don't do it, time is running out? And I think you can flip that question the other way. Like, is this craving for security based on fear or actual need? Do I want the really stable job because I'm too scared to take the risk? Am I taking the safe route because I'm scared of failing, the riskier route? Many people in relationships might feel this. Are they staying with that person because it's the easier option and they're basing it on fear of what might happen if they weren't with that person? You know, I've seen a lot of friends, and you know, my amazing friend Hannah, one of my best friends, she came on the pod and talked about being divorced at 31. And she was such a, like, what's the word? I'm not going to say beacon, that's so weird. She was such a like force of, I'm not going to stay in something because I'm scared of the alternative. And I think probably a lot more people need to hear that, maybe need to have that conversation with themselves, maybe need to be honest about that sometimes. Or do you have actually a need for stability? Like, are you someone whose security matters because it's how you function your best? And that is also fine. And yeah, it doesn't sound as sexy, but I'm definitely someone who needs security in many ways. I have to have a routine. I'm like, morning routine. I cannot function without it. Like, I'm a mess of a human being if I don't have some form of morning routine. The other thing I ask myself is, does this freedom create expansion or is it creating chaos? Like, it's not always growth. Freedom isn't always growth. Sometimes it's avoidance dressed in a sexy pair of trousers. That's a weird expression. It's avoidance dressed up as something alluring. Like, sometimes you're actually just chasing, as I said earlier, like throwing things in because you're overwhelmed or you want an easy way out of things. I think the most beautiful forms of freedom is when they do create expansion. I guess it's kind of like what I was saying in the relationship that I'm in, like with my husband, the freedom that the foundation of our relationship gives me does feel expansive. It feels like from there I can move and explore different things. And if that freedom is calling you towards creativity or movement or truth, maybe it's worth the uncertainty and maybe it's worth a little bit of the chaos that might come along with it. And the last thing I've been thinking about is, where do I need roots and where do I just want options? So you're not going to be a 100% free spirit in every part of your life. I mean, maybe you are. Maybe there are some Peter Pan, probably men, let's be honest. There are some people out there, but it's more likely that you have places where you need security and places where you need freedom. And how can I identify those things and use that knowledge to my advantage to, I guess, build my life in a better way? Maybe you want freedom in your career. Maybe that's really important to you. For me, massively important. I want to be able to work from anywhere. I want to choose my hours. I want to choose the work that I do. Freedom in my career is like, I have to have it because every time I'm employed full time, I lose my mind. It sucks my soul. Even the most amazing jobs, inevitably, that's just how they impact me. I know that. But home, for example, is somewhere where I need a lot of security. I would not cope well in a relationship of wild amounts of freedom in the sense of like, I'm very happy within monogamy, for example, or like I'm very happy in a long-term secure relationship. I thrive in that. It's when I'm my best self. It's when I can be myself the most. It's when I've felt more connected to who I am than ever before. So I think thinking about like, where do you need roots and where do you just want a few more options? Where can you introduce places where you give yourself a little bit more of that freedom without, you know, necessarily doing anything crazy? Maybe you want financial stability, for example. Totally fair. Just understand yourself and think about those. You definitely don't need to be free everywhere. You don't need to be secure everywhere either. You just need to choose what area gives you your oxygen, your like your energy, your ability to be your best self. Yeah, I guess freedom is expansive, it's exciting, it can be addictive, and security is calming and grounding, and it can, on the flip side, sometimes be a little bit boring, and you need both. So I guess the real win is like, if your life is feeling chaotic, maybe it's time to look at where you can chase some moments of safety. Maybe not the word chase, I hate the word chase, but where you can find moments of safety, find moments of security, places of security. And if your life feels small at the moment, maybe it's time to chase more of that freedom. Give yourself new places to play, new things to explore. Yeah. Sorry, has this turned into a TED Talk? Jesus, move over, Mel Robbins. I might be amazing at this. I don't know how I end this, to be honest. I do know how I end this. I usually have yes or mess, right? So I usually have a guest and we do some yes or mess. I actually asked ChatGPT to write me some yes or mess questions based around a blabber of thoughts that I fed into it. So I'm going to read these out for myself. I haven't actually looked at these properly. Let me see what they actually said. They being ChatGPT. Maybe answer them for yourself if you're listening to this still, if you haven't dropped off. maybe answer them for yourself with me. And if you feel passionately about them, drop me a message. Tell me what ones you agree with, which ones you don't agree with, any thoughts on them. Okay, so ChatGPT said, number one, freelancing with no savings, but a flight to Bali booked. I'm like such a fucking yes to this. Yes, yes, yes. I honestly think, look, if that said a flight to London booked, I'm like, don't do that. It's fucking expensive here. But a flight to Bali, it's way cheaper there. Amazing. Yeah, freelancing, it always works out, right? Like sometimes you have to eat shit for a while and you'll be broke. But a massive yes to freelancing with no savings, but a flight to Bali booked, because you'll work it out and the risk of not working it out there is a lot lower because the standard of living is cheaper and amazing. And I want to book a flight to Bali. I actually nearly went, but then got bogged down with the old poddy. Not that it's ever bogged down. It's a pleasure talking to you all. Sorry, these are supposed to be one-liners. I literally created the segment and I'm fucking it up for myself. Number two, ChatGPT said spending £700 on rent just to avoid sharing a fridge with anyone ever again. Yes or mess? If you're spending £700 on rent and not having to share a fridge, honestly, I would love to know where you're living, because I can tell you it's not fucking London. It's not the south of the UK. It's probably not even the north of the UK. It's probably nowhere. It's probably in a dream land, ChatGPT. Update your sources. Understand the cost of living. But spending loads on rent, I'm presuming they're saying that's a lot of money. It's not in reality when it comes to rent, to live on your own. Spending loads of rent to avoid sharing a fridge with anyone ever again. Absolute yes. I hate sharing my space with anyone. Yes, yes, yes. Not defending it, not explaining more. Number three, not making a single plan for your future because we might not even have a planet in 10 years. Yes or mess? Okay, that's disconcerting coming from a tool that has all the knowledge in the universe. I would say mess to that. I think the narrative of, oh, there might not be, oh, we're going to be on fire in 10 years. Yeah, we might be, but we probably fucking won't be, let's be honest. Like, we'll probably just be in some dire situation, but we'll still be here. So make plans for your future. What is that expression? Failing to plan is planning to fail. Who said that? For some reason in my head, it's like Tyra Banks, but I don't know why that would be the case. Like, that would be bizarre. I think it might have been, God, this is such a throwback. I'm just waffling, guys. I hope you're still here. I think on an episode of America's Next Top Model, someone asked an amazing quote and she said, like, my mum used to always say that failure to plan is planning to fail. And I was like, yeah. And apparently that's lodged in my mind. Moving on. Number four, romanticizing freedom so much that commitment feels like failure. Wow. Romanticizing freedom so much that commitment feels like failure. Wow. I mean, God, that's just punched me in my little brain. It's a mess because don't romanticize anything to the point that other things feel like failure, because that just seems negative. But I think that's a very real feeling that a lot of us go through. Romanticizing freedom so much that commitment feels like failure. Yeah. Maybe it does sometimes. Committing to your job for a really long time can feel like failure, like you haven't gone off and done all this stuff, or committing to living in London can feel like failure because you haven't gone to Bali or, I don't know, South America. So mess, but I understand why that could happen. Last one. Number five, having kids so someone will visit you in the care home. Mess, ChatGPT. Are you joking? Do you know how many people die alone because their kids turn out to be little fuckers? I mean, we're all trying to raise good ones. If we're trying to raise any, we want them to be good ones, right? But no, bizarre, absolute mess. Never have a child because you're scared of being lonely, because that's just crazy town, IMO. In my view, I think I've kept you here for long enough, to be honest. Yeah, maybe this wasn't a TED Talk after all. I think the end of that proved it wasn't quite a TED Talk. I think I need a bit more practice before I go on TEDx and chat shit. But talking on the internet, we got through it. I hope you liked this. This was more of a meandering long thought. This was more a voice note from me to you rather than a TED Talk, I would say. It was a very long voice note that you can listen to with a coffee in hand. And just me letting out some thoughts banging around in my brain. I guess to wrap up, I should probably say something wise, something profound. I don't know if I've got that with me, to be honest, at 8 o'clock in the evening. But I guess what I'm learning is we don't have to choose one forever. We don't have to choose freedom forever or above everything else. We don't have to choose security forever and above everything else. Life changes, and what feels like security might at some point feel like a trap, or what feels like freedom might start to feel lonely, or like you're floating around in the ether and you're not grounded in any way. I think the trick is not locking onto one. It's probably learning to ask, what do I need most right now? Checking in on yourself. Isn't that the whole of your 30s? Just realizing that all of this comes back to consciousness. Consciousness. That's a little joke, inside joke for anyone who listens to my husband's music. It all just comes back to consciousness and reflection and understanding yourself and knowing that it's okay also if that answer keeps changing. What do I need most right now? Freedom. What do I need most right now? Security. If you flip-flop, that's fine. Anyway, if you've been spiraling over where to plant roots or how to not combust from the many options and choices there are, just know that you are in good company in these weird years, in the spiral. I am in there with you. I would love if you sent me your thoughts or stories or spirals. I love any form of feedback, guys. I'm just desperate for yap. And I'm lonely here on my own without a guest today. So drop me any messages. If freedom and security are fighting in your life too, I want to hear about it. And that's all from me. Let's talk again soon. Unless you hated this, in which case, let's talk again. Never. And I'll just cry in my bedroom. No, I won't. I refuse to give up. But again, thoughts, feelings, so welcome. Yeah. Talk soon. Lots of love. Over and out. See ya.